Hey, all you podcast listeners, welcome back. Today, Marcus has the pleasure to interview She, spelled SH3. She is a singer, songwriter, engineer, and producer working out of Toronto. She is multi-genre talented and not only does her own work, including writing and performing our theme song, but she also helps other artists bring their musical visions to life. She has a really neat story that is totally relatable to so many women. Plus, I love the fact that she's Canadian, too. I unfortunately knew the time of the interview, and I wanted to make it home so I could pop in and meet her. I wanted to tell her how much I love the music she composed for us, but unfortunately, I didn't make it in time. I was so sad. Marcus and I are so lucky to get to meet and interact with so many amazing women. Please, please keep your stories coming, and we'll try to get to as many as we can. Hopefully, we'll get to all of them. This has honestly been one of the most amazing experiences of my life. It is just so inspiring, and it gives me so much hope for the future. So without further ado, I will hand it over to Marcus, but I just wanted to say that this podcast is sponsored by Femme Apparel. We believe in gender equality and use thought-provoking messaging to bring attention to gender disparity and to challenge the status quo to be more inclusive and equal.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Perfect, yeah, I can hear you.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is exciting. It's nice to finally meet, so to speak. Before we get going, I just wanted to clear up one thing. How do you prefer me to address you, Victoria or She?
She.
She? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, just to keep everything consistent.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That's kind of what I thought, but I wanted to make
sure.
Awesome. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I see you're at home, I'm guessing.
Yes, I am, as we all are, hopefully.
And where is home? Just north of Toronto?
It is, yeah. How did you know just north of Toronto?
Well, actually, that's
oddly specific.
I lived 10 years in Toronto.
Oh, I don't know. You guys are actually Canadian.
Yep.
Okay. So where are you guys at now?
Now we're in Thunder Bay.
Oh, okay. Thunder Bay. I heard it's very pretty. There's a lot of nice national parks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you love the outdoors, it's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I spent 10 years in Toronto. You graduated from York. I graduated from Ryerson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ryerson. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So I lived in Toronto for 10 years. So. And my family is still all from Southern Ontario. Like my brother and his wife, they live in Burlington. My parents live in Waterdown. So
okay. I
know the area very well.
Very nice. I just made the connection because I got a sweater. Yes, of course, you know, north of Toronto.
Yes.
Over my head, yeah. But
Not everybody may know all the suburbs, right? So it's a legitimate question.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's get into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself, like how you started. So you started when you were really young with music, right? Like, was it a passion right away?
Yeah, so I started with, like, you know, piano lessons, like very young. I always had a liking for music, and I always wanted to take vocal lessons, but my parents were like, your voice isn't developed yet as a child, so it would make sense for you to start with piano, learn some of, like, you know, the theory that comes with that, and then, you know, when you're older you can lessons. So when I was 12 was when I actually started formally taking lessons. Yeah.
And did you play any other instruments or was it just piano?
From voice, it went into guitar. I had a really awesome voice teacher who knew a lot of talented musicians, and she introduced me to one of her friends who was a prominent a jazz guitarist in Toronto. And I had a few, I think it was about two years of lessons with him, around 2 years. He was great because he taught me songwriting along with guitar. So it wasn't just, you know, learning jazz guitar, but also learning how to structure songs and stuff like that, which was really, really awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then from there, you went into a bachelor's program at York University, correct?
Yeah. So I went to an arts high school, and then from there I wanted to pursue music post-secondary, and I auditioned for Jazz Voice. And yeah, that was a great experience. I studied jazz voice. I did a lot of music improv, which was huge for me. Digital music. What else? Composition for like film and stuff like that. There was a lot of different options. Like once you were in, you could pretty much, you know, pick and choose what music stream you wanted to focus on.
How big was your graduating class? Like how many people would be in that program?
That's a good question. I don't know. I want to say maybe under 100, I want to say.
So not a huge program then.
Yeah, it wasn't big. Like if you were in it, you pretty much knew everybody.
And yeah. what was the split female to male?
So I would say probably for singing, it was predominantly female. Piano was a pretty even split. Drums was definitely like 95 men. Same with guitar. Digital music was probably like a 90% male class ratio, and same for improv. Okay. Yeah, there were some classes where I was maybe one of two girls.
Okay.
In like the audio arts classes. Yeah.
And it was a good experience going through that?
Yeah, it was good. It rarely made you feel like that you noticed that there was such a difference in numbers. But I feel like anything that I would have experienced would have been extremely subtle. Like it was never like, oh, if she's a female, she can't do it as well.
Right.
It would have been something like super, super, super subtle, which is, you know, if you had to choose on the scale.
I suppose, yeah. So when you graduated, the path was always to continue with music then, right? That was your... Mm-hmm.
That was always my goal. Yeah, it was always the goal.
And so when you finished, how did you transition into the industry?
So I had a friend of mine who introduced me to a writer's group in Toronto. They were looking for songwriters. And I did writing with them before I became consistently part of like the collective. And from there, everything just kind of snowballed. It ends up being like a word of mouth, getting invited to different sessions, different artists wanting to work with you. So it's heavily based on word of mouth, at least in my experience.
Right. So that's if you want to get into it, you have to work it then essentially, right? Like you have to go out and put the time in.
The more active you are, the better it is, definitely. Networking, they always say networking is key, and that's like so true.
And so how long have you been doing it now?
So I would say actively would be around 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe six, 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so do you consider yourself established now?
That's a good question. I'm always chasing more, you know? So I don't really see it as being like I'm there. I'm definitely always pushing for more opportunities, more sessions, more, you know, opportunities for myself as an artist. So it's definitely an ongoing thing. Yeah.
And how do you split your time? Do you spend more of your time working with clients or more of your time working on your own material?
I would say more with artists because songwriting has always been my main thing. So it's always something that I make to be my focus, but I do definitely make myself a priority. But if I would have to say like the split, it would probably be like at this point, maybe 70-30. Yeah.
Working with other artists and then 30% on your own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy it. I honestly really, really love working with artists. So, you know, it makes me happy. It definitely does.
How do you find them? Like, how do you find somebody to collaborate with?
Again, word of mouth is a big one. Social media is another one. I would say those are the two main things. People finding through social media and then also like through recommendations.
And do you have a Now I know you have a partnership with Android Beats, right? So explain how that comes about and what that exactly means.
So we, sorry, can you give me just 1 second?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Sorry, you were asking about Android Beats?
Yeah, like how that partnership came to be and exactly what it's all about.
So we met around, I think it was like 4 years ago. I was invited to a session in Boston by a Toronto artist named Kim Davis. And we had like a week or so to work on a bunch of songs. And from there, like, we just always stayed in touch. And they're phenomenal producers. Like, they have a whole roster of clients they work with. And then in having their artists that they work with, people would need like hooks or assistance in songwriting and stuff like that. So I would be called in to fill that role. And we've just gotten like tighter and tighter over the years and really, established a formula to work together. And it's been awesome because it's a lot of fun working with, you know, rappers, artists, pop singers. There's never like a dull like moment or situation, you know. There's always something going on.
So you had mentioned, I think it was just Boston. Are you centered in Toronto primarily, but do you go elsewhere? Like, where does your music career take you?
So I would say predominantly Toronto and Tampa. Android Beats is stationed predominantly in Tampa. They're at the Grand Bay Studios. And so I usually do, before all the Corona and travel restrictions, I would do probably like 3 month gaps, like 3 months in Toronto, then go over and spend a few weeks in Tampa and go back and forth that way. That way I have the ability to actually physically be with artists. Cause it's easy to collaborate remotely. Like, I'm able to collaborate with artists over, you know, email, phone, like video, like this, right? So it's nice when I'm physically able to be there, because then I can, you know, be physically there for the sessions. So it's like a cross between being there physically and doing stuff remotely back in Toronto.
Cool. So the big question, I guess, being a female in an artistic industry, music, have you encountered anything, like anything that you would consider to be gender bias?
I would say in my experience, there's two main things that I experience, one more than the other. It's very common when I walk into a session to be asked about my relationship status. Like, that's almost like a given, is that people are curious. They want to kind of know, they want to know that detail about you. A lot of the times, like, you're walking into a session of just men, you know, like, stereotypically, I feel like women are the singers. So a lot of the times, like, if you're dealing with rappers or you're dealing with, even obviously males are singers too, but like, predominantly it's a very male dominated space. Right. So I feel like that's the highest one on the list, is definitely being asked about my relationship status. And then also, them kind of being surprised when they find out like my involvement in the session. Sometimes it might be like a girl, you know, like if they see me like behind the control board, like for a session. Or sometimes I might just be there not being active in a session, but then it'll kind of be like a very passive aggressive, like, oh, she doesn't know, you know, like never from people that I actually work with. It's more from like clients. But yeah, I would say those are like the two main things that I definitely experience. Not like heavily, but it exists, like it's there.
Yeah. So the relationship status thing, is that because they're wondering if they can hit on you or ask you out, or
all I know is
like, how does it, where does it go once they ask, like, do they flat out ask the question?
Yeah, yes, they will. They'll say, oh, do you have a boyfriend? Like very, very flat out. Like I could be, you know, doing a feature for somebody in the vocal booth. I'll have headphones so I can hear what's being said in the control room. And yeah, people have literally just gone on the mic, like the talk back, so that I could hear and just be like, so do you have a boyfriend? You know? Yeah. And I feel like if I wasn't a female, I probably wouldn't get that question.
Yeah. How do you handle that? I mean, first and then I'll follow up.
No, I usually just like, what's the word? Like brush it off. Like I just change the subject, you know, because like whether I am or not, like I just don't feel like that's a topic of discussion. Like what does it have to do with, you know, me recording this or me recording you, or you know what I mean? So I usually just, you know, might do like a little laugh or something and then change the subject. Cause obviously I don't want it to turn into a hostile situation, but yeah. So
was it when you first were starting out, was that tricky to navigate just because, you know, when you're new, when you have opportunity in front of you, you don't want to, you know, upset the opportunity, but at the same time, like mm-hmm. it's a bullshit question irrelevant to the situation, right? So
yeah, I feel like just by default, by being a female, like in life you're always kind of subtly subjected to that, like whether, you know, like I'm sure you've seen the video of like that woman walking in the streets of New York and getting catcalled, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, whether it's in the workplace or at school or just walking down the street, we're always subjected to a little bit of that. So we just always kind of have like an arsenal of like ways to cope, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in terms of the reaction to clients being surprised when there's a woman in the mm-hmm. control room, are there not a lot of women doing what you do?
There isn't. I think I saw a statistic where it's like out of all the like production audio type jobs, 5% for women.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that was the stat. Yeah. So it is rarer, like rarer. So I can see that maybe they're just kind of like, oh, I didn't expect that. Like, I don't think they mean it in like, you know, an offensive way. But yeah, for some reason, like, there's not that many women in the audio side. Even though I feel like we have just as much as capabilities as our male counterparts, but for whatever reason, it's just the interest might not be there, or maybe they're not exposed to it to know that it's an option.
Yeah, that was really my next question. Why do you think that there is such a small female component? Is there a big barrier to entry, or mm-hmm. is it not a career that's talked about? You know, what's your feeling on why there aren't more women?
Yeah, I think it might be the fact that like it's not as talked about, and maybe not as talked about, but also not as seen. Like I feel like, you know, we see representation of women as singers, we see representation of women as teachers, as doctors, right? But I feel like it's always like a, ooh, like, whoa, when it's like a woman doing something that's very tech inspired or tech oriented, especially like in the music side of things. So I feel like it might be a representation reason, but it's honestly, it's a good question. And I would be curious to like, you know, look more into it to find out why that's the case, because we're fully capable. Like it's not, you know, if you're a human, yeah, you could do it.
So is it, did you find it difficult to get into the industry?
So I started like my entry was songwriting, and songwriting, like there's definitely a more even, ratio male to female. So by starting in as a songwriter and being in the studio environment, I picked up like engineering skills through that. Had I not had that as like my entry point, I probably would have, and if I wanted to pursue audio arts, I probably would have gone to school for it. And then, you know, done the whole like placement and then, you know, find a job in the audio arts that way. But I just kind of found it based on the environment that I was in. So, yeah.
And has the industry, I mean, been accepting of you? Other than the comments that you get from the clients that you work with?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think people are excited, to be honest, just because it isn't, you know, as common as it, you know, maybe should be. I think that people are like, okay, this is like a breath of fresh air. It's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different vibe. Like, I only see it as a good thing, as a positive thing.
So was any of that a inspiration for your name?
Yes, it definitely was. It was a mix between, it's interesting how it kind of fell into place. Because in the beginning, it was like, if you have a name like She, which is like, you know, such an obvious, like, you know, it's a female pronoun, right?
Yeah.
You know, if something is produced by She or written by She, or, you know that a woman is behind it. But then beyond that, I've always seen music as a very like healing remedy. Like it has so much therapeutic qualities to it. So sound healing for me has always been a big thing. So like the S and the H, standing for sound healing, and then 3 just being like one of my favorite numbers. So that comes together to be She.
Yeah, that comes together nicely, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's catchy.
Yeah, it's short. It's a one syllable name that I can visually, you know, change in a lot of different ways because it's like it has a number in it, and
And has that always been the name that you've used professionally?
No, that has only been around, I would say, probably the last 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did you brand yourself before?
Before, it was just always my actual name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like before that, when I wrote and like released stuff, again, I was always making songwriting more of a priority. So I wasn't really thinking in terms of like, you know, a brand. So I would just put stuff out under my name. And then it kind of, when I thought about it, it kind of weirded me out with the idea of having my actual name be so public. So I was like, I think I would feel better if I had something else be my name. Like, whether it's like it doesn't even have to be like a name, like a human sounding name, just like an entity that I can label for my work. Because I don't know, it just kind of makes me uncomfortable to have like my family's name so public. Like, you know, what if they don't want that, you know?
Oh no, I completely understand. I mean, it's not the same, but it's in a similar vein. Like part of the motivation for our company was my two young daughters. You know, they're both under 10, but that is as much information as I'll divulge about them, right?
Yeah.
Like their names are not important. Their likeness will be shown. Like, you know, this is not about them per se. And also, you know, for them, I just want to preserve their privacy until they're able to make the decision what they want to do.
Exactly.
So I do understand where you're coming from in terms of, you know, it becomes greater than just you, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So for an engineer and producer, do you think it's beneficial to have a brand style name like you use now, as opposed to like, because, you know, when you see produced by, a lot of times, to your point, or to borrow your words, they're not exactly, it's not exactly a human style name, right?
Yes, definitely. I think that if your goal is to treat yourself as a brand, like in terms of you want people to have a name that, you know, has a quick sound to it, it's easy to remember, all the branding 101 stuff, right? Like if that's your goal, then I think that, you know, it's smart to think of something that represents you. But then there's also some people that are like, you know, this is my name, this is who I am, and that's what I'm going to release stuff under, which is totally fine too, right? So it depends like what your angle is, what you're comfortable with.
Do you find that it might be a little bit genre specific as well? And I'm just thinking about the music that I listened to heavily when I was in my 20s and my teens. Like I was a lot into rock and roll and metal, and those albums were produced by guys guys usually, and they just use their names. But now in EDM and hip hop and rap, it's a little bit more of a branding spin. So do you, in your experience or your opinion, do you feel that it's genre based as well a little bit?
I think that that definitely plays a role. I think it's much more common for, like popular genres in that, you know, hip hop, EDM, what else? Like pop music. It's more likely that you're going to have like branding in like every facet. So like sometimes like we're not, like now I find even like mixing engineers will have a name, you know, like it's not just the artist and the producer, like even mixing engineers will have some type of brand like name. So I think that it's definitely more so common in those popular genres for sure.
So it's like a whole like bunch of brands attaching themselves to the overall.
Yeah. And that ends up being like what commercial music is, right? Like it's just a lot of brands.
So what would your advice be to a young girl who's thinking about getting into this industry, doing what you do on the, on we'll call it back end, right? Not you are in front of the microphone, but most of your work, 70% is, you know, behind the wall, so to speak. What would you say to a young girl that was considering that? Would you recommend it? And if so, how would you recommend going about it?
I would 100% recommend it. I would encourage it. And I would say, do it and just do not pay mind to anything else other than achieving your goals. Because I think for the majority of my life, I know that like when I went into things, I just did it. And like, I always learned about, you know, feminism and women's issues and stuff like that. And it was a very like, in a very history based setting, if that makes sense. It wasn't something that I personally experienced in my day to day when I went to school, right? So to me, it was like, I can do whatever I want. Right. And then it wasn't until, you know, later on in life, you know, university, we get into like the workforce, then you start seeing little subtle things that you're like, okay, so yes, this is real, but like, I'm not letting it define anything or alter my opinions of myself, what I can do, anything like that. So it's yes, definitely go for it. And just don't pay mind to like, you know, that outside noise if you experience it, because there's so many different types of outside noise that anybody could face for such a variety of reasons. So like, do not let that be a reason, you know, to stop you.
Awesome. Do you think that as a woman you might need thicker skin in the industry? Like is there more hesitation to accept your skills as a woman than if you were a man in the same role?
I think that there might be, but honestly, I feel like I haven't walked away from a session where somebody has felt like they got less than they should have, or that they should have said, oh, can I have a male engineer instead? Like that has never happened. Like if anything, they walk away so thrilled and so happy because I'm able to like put together all the skills that I've learned over my course of studying music, like me behind the glass, like, yes, I can engineer, but I also have experience vocal coaching. So I'm able to like vocal produce you as I'm engineering you. And that's not always the case for people. A lot of the times there might be somebody who's just pressing a chord. Right. So after they work with me, they're like, they're still going to work with me. They're going to continue to book with me, you know? So, yeah, I went on a little tangent. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's great. That's great. No, that's a lot. I love it. Keep going.
yeah. Like, I've never, you know, to this point, thankfully, I've never had somebody be like, oh, I don't want a woman to do this job, or I'm not happy with the work she did, so get me somebody else, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I suppose if it's just an artistic difference, that's one thing, right? But if it's just because it's a woman, I don't think she can do
right. What gender do, based,
that's a whole different
sort of, definitely.
Yeah. So would you recommend, or do you think it was beneficial to go through your formal training, your school-based training?
I think that's a great question, because I feel like when it comes to the arts, you know, a lot of people think or question if, do you need to go to school, right? The answer is no, you don't need to go to school. Like, if you're doing something that is extremely technical and you need certifications, then yes, you do have to go to school, right? But when you're doing something in the arts that is very conceptual based, technically, no. Like, anything that I have done right now doesn't require the fact that I have a degree. But I feel like having that degree, it taught me so much that I don't think not having it, like, would put me in the same situations. It changes how I deal with people. It changes the ideas that I come up with. It changes my approach with working with people. Like, there's so much benefits to having a degree and the experience that I had in getting the degree that for me, I knew that it was the right decision. It just made so much sense for me to pursue music in school. I would not trade that for anything.
I love that answer. Isn't it interesting though, that some of the best lessons actually really don't have anything to do technically with music, right?
Yeah.
They're just definitely life experiences.
Yes. Yes. And you definitely learn a lot in university.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So your one piece of advice then would be to chase the passion, but find a way to cancel out the noise.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, and some people might disagree with me, but I feel like if you ignore and honestly like distract yourself and just don't even accept that it's there. Like I know that it's important to like acknowledge, but I feel like, you know, it's almost kind of like ignorance is bliss. Like if you don't know that there is, you know, this difference between, you know, male and female, you're not going to feel it because you're blind to it. Right. So yeah, like I feel like my advice would just be, if you have a passion, just go for it and just tune out anything that could get in the way of you pursuing that.
Yeah. And I guess don't let yourself, be identified by it. Right.
Like, yeah, definitely.
Break through that boundary because you want to do it, not for any other reason really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in terms of what advice would you give for somebody to actually get into the industry? Like, is networking, as you mentioned at the start, is networking sort of the number one thing, like getting out there and meeting people? Or is it definitely more putting music together and then getting that out in front of people, or a combination?
It's definitely a combination. I would say it's a combination. I think that it also depends on your personality type. Because you can, you know, achieve different things from, you know, different pathways, right? If you're somebody who's more reserved and maybe doesn't find networking, you know, the easiest course for you, if you were to, you know, go to school, get certifications and get hired as an engineer that way, you will get in the door that way. Or let's say you're a very savvy person and you're a social butterfly and really good with people, you could get to that exact same spot as a person who went to school just by navigating and networking with the right people. So there's different ways to, you know, enter into that space, but it's just kind of identifying what's going to be the easiest for me, what's going to be the best for me.
Yeah. And I'm guessing a major center is probably important too. Like, you know, Toronto's got a good hip hop scene. You'd probably have to be in an area where you can immerse yourself in the culture, I'd imagine.
Honestly, I feel like the internet really changes that because because if you have strong content and you're consistent with your content, it is so powerful if you have a following online, whether it's Instagram, YouTube is a huge one. You could be in like a remote place and thanks to the internet, you know, you can get your sound out there and you can get work flowing because of technology. So I think like it could be a benefit. It definitely is a benefit to be in a place that is, you know, very present in music, but you can definitely, you know, make those connections through having like a social media presence or an online presence.
And your social presence is strong. I mean, your Instagram account has tens of thousands of followers. How did you go about cultivating that kind of an audience, right? Because that's always a popular question for people starting and wanting to get exposure.
Yeah. So the biggest thing for me, what worked for me early on, was posting videos of me singing a cappella in harmony. That was something that like people really liked. Like if I were to take a current pop song and record a video of me singing it and then layering a bunch of voices of me singing over the song, and the use of hashtags, I cannot stress enough like how useful hashtags are. You're able to have up to 30 hashtags in a post, and if you experiment with which ones bring in the most traffic, like I still use a lot of hashtags to this day, because it's always bringing in new people, new listeners, you know, new flow of people. So that's huge. Being consistent is another one. It's not impossible. It's very possible if you're consistent with it, are savvy with the ins and outs of how social media works, and just keep going. Because in the beginning, you're going to not get a lot of feedback. You're going to not get a lot of likes. Like, it's just going to like go unnoticed, but like, don't let that discourage you. Stick with it. And like within a year's time or 2 years time, being consistent with that, you are going to have growth. You're going to have tremendous growth.
Yeah. And I really, that's really important. I think what you hit the nail on the head there with the consistency and the time, because you have to put the time in. And I'd imagine in your industry, you need to be producing a fair amount of material, right? Like you can't expect to create a few things and hit it big, I'm guessing, right?
It depends. Some people can like have that hit big and they're good. They can coast off it. They can like do some stuff like here and there and they're totally content. Then there's some people that are, you know, want to keep that momentum going. So, you know, it definitely depends on your personality type and what your goals are. Yeah.
Awesome. So why don't you tell us what you're working on now, what you'd like us to know about, where you'd like us to find you. We'll obviously put everything in the show notes as well for the podcast and the YouTube channel, but tell us a little bit about what you're working on right now.
So I've been working on a music video. This has been months in the making for a song on my project called Gelato, and I'm planning on releasing that in July. And I'm so excited because so much time and effort and everybody involved has been so awesome. Like I'm just so excited to share it. I just cannot wait till I can post it and share it and like, you know, oh, it's going to be awesome.
And this is one of your songs.
Yeah, this is one of my songs. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And where we'll find it, I guess, on your Instagram, on your YouTube.
Yeah, I'll definitely be posting it on my Instagram. It'll be on my YouTube. Everything's under She Official. If you follow me, you will know. You will know. Perfect.
And so I guess with the internet, I mean, outside of filming the video, right? But I guess I suppose with everything else being digital, you're probably still able to work even though we're all in lockdown right now, right? Like, have you noticed that you can continue to do your thing?
Yeah, I can definitely continue to do like remote sessions. I can still, conference with people over email and stuff like that. So the only difference is you can't physically be in a studio space. So like, you know, engineering isn't really, you know, happening at this point, but like, you know, the songwriting, stuff like that, like can definitely be done still. So I feel blessed that I'm still able to connect with people in that way.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I just want to let everybody know that all of She's social handles are at She Official, and that's spelled SH and then the number 3 and then Official, OFFICIAL. So at She, SH3 Official. And we'll put all that in the notes as well. But just honestly, thank you so much. We've been chatting for a while now, so it's great to finally meet via this video format. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm down in Toronto next, I'll shoot you a note and maybe we can meet up in person.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
This has been great. This has been awesome. Thanks very much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, all right. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We are